It is recorded that Jesus, as he once journeyed with his students, knew their thoughts, read them scientifically. In like manner, he discerned disease and healed the sick. After the same method, events of great moment were foretold by the Hebrew prophets. Our Master rebuked the lack of this power when he said, "O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Both Jew and Gentile may have had acute corporeal senses, but mortals need spiritual sense. Jesus knew the generation to be wicked and adulterous, seeking the material more than the spiritual. His thrusts at materialism were sharp, but needed. He never spared hypocrisy the sternest condemnation. He said, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." The great teacher knew both cause and effect, knew that truth communicates itself, but never imparts error. Jesus once asked, "Who touched me?" Supposing this inquiry to be occasioned by physical contact alone, his disciples answered, "The multitude throng thee." Jesus knew, as others did not, that it was not matter, but mortal mind whose touch called for aid. Repeating his inquiry, he was answered by the faith of a sick woman. His quick apprehension of this mental call illustrated his spirituality. The disciples' misconception of it uncovered their materiality. Jesus possessed more spiritual susceptibility than the disciples. Opposites come from contrary directions and produce unlike results. Mortals evolve images of thought. These may appear to the ignorant to be apparitions, but they are mysterious only because it is unusual to see thoughts, though we can always feel their influence. Haunted houses, ghostly voices, unusual noises, and apparitions brought out in dark seances either involve feats by tricksters, or they are images and sounds evolved involuntarily by mortal mind. Seeing is no less a quality of physical sense than feeling. Then why is it more difficult to see a thought than to feel one? Education alone determines the difference. In reality, there is none. Portraits, landscape paintings, facsimiles of penmanship, peculiarities of expression, recollected sentences can all be taken from pictorial thought and memory as readily as from objects cognizable by the senses. Mortal mind sees what it believes as certainly as it believes what it sees. It feels, hears, and sees its own thoughts. Pictures are mentally formed before the artist can convey them to canvas. So is it with all material conceptions. Mind readers perceive these pictures of thought. They copy or reproduce them, even when they are lost to the memory of the mind in which they are discoverable. It is needless for the thought or for the person holding the transferred picture to be individually and consciously present. Though individuals have passed away, their mental environment remains to be discerned, described, and transmitted. Though bodies are leagues apart and their associations forgotten, their associations float in the general atmosphere of human mind. The Scotch call such vision second sight, when really it is first sight instead of second, for it presents primal facts to mortal mind. Science enables one to read the human mind, but not as a clairvoyant. It enables one to heal through mind, but not as a mesmerist. The mind knows naught of the emeralds within its rocks. The sea is ignorant of the gems within its caverns, of the corals, of its sharp reefs, of the tall ships that float on its bosom, or of the bodies which lie buried in its sands. Yet these are all there. Do not suppose that any mental concept is gone because you do not think of it. The true concept is never lost. The strong impressions produced on mortal mind by friendship or by any intense feeling are lasting, and mind readers can perceive and reproduce these impressions. Memory may reproduce voices long ago silent. We have but to close the eyes, and forms rise before us, which are thousands of miles away, or altogether gone from physical sight and sense, and this not in dreamy sleep. In our daydreams, we can recall that for which the poet Tennyson expressed the heart's desire. The touch of a vanished hand and the sound of a voice that is still. The mind may even be cognizant of a present flavor and odor when no viand touches the palate and no scent salutes the nostrils. How are veritable ideas to be distinguished from illusions? By learning the origin of each. Ideas are emanations from the divine mind. Thoughts proceeding from the brain or from matter are offshoots of mortal mind. They are mortal material beliefs. Ideas are spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. Beliefs proceed from the so-called material senses, which at one time are supposed to be substance matter, and at another are called spirits.